Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as you call us to come and follow you, show us what that means today as we dig into Romans 6, that we are buried with you and raised with you. Show us what it means to follow you as your disciple. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to open your Bibles, you can, to Romans chapter 6. Also, page 11 in your bulletin has it all printed there. And we're working our way through most of the book, especially from, we had to kind of skip quickly to chapter 5. But then from 5 to 6 on, we'll spend a lot of time through now to through the end of September. And today, it makes a little bit of that leap from pure talking, what is the gospel, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. A lot of, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace, that kind of language, to verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Starts to talk, well, how does that work itself out in our lives? So it's kind of a turn to that, and then even next week, chapter 7 talks more about, you know, the struggle of Christian life. So start at verse 1. What shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4, we're going to spend a lot of time with this today. We were buried with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk, it says, in newness of life. We too might live a new life is how the NIV says it. And in the Bible, your walk and your talk are essentially the same. He tells people in the Old Testament, walk in my commands. So walking is a metaphor for living. We might live a new life. We have died with Christ. We will live with Christ. And then you get to the very end, the last verse, 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So we're going to go to verse 4 and spend some time with that. Read it with me. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. One verse, verse 4, and I think even four words, the four underlined words there, capture not only this verse, but this chapter and a lot of this whole section in Romans. Buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. What's on the back end of it all? Life. But we got to start with some tough things first. We were therefore buried. Have you ever felt buried? Have you ever felt buried for a season in life by many things? Have you ever felt buried by worry? Just keep worrying about one thing after another. Could be your children. Where are they right now? What are they doing? Are they safe? They've been out too late. It's past midnight. They're not home. Are they okay? Or grandchildren, or your future. What am I going to do next year? What am I going to do in 5 years? What? Or school, papers, tests, stress, or just an uncertain future. Has that felt burying? Or maybe work pressure just getting piling on. You do a good job, so they put more on you and just piles on. Or between family and work and other responsibilities, you feel like you need to be in six places at once and it just piles on. Or maybe you or your spouse or somebody lost their job and you had many expenses piling up and you just feel buried in debt. Or maybe you feel buried in guilt sometimes. That one time you lost control and you messed up and you feel like you just blew it big time and you can never live it down. Or that relationship that you've hurt, and every time you think about it, you relive the pain, and more piles on, and you just feel buried in your sin. Or even something like chronic pain and suffering that just doesn't go away, and it just feels buried. Have you ever felt buried? If you have, I think it's that you're human, and if you haven't, you probably will sometime. The pressures, stresses, failures, sins, you name it, they will catch up with you and you may feel buried. But as this verse takes us along, we'll find out that it's what's important to us isn't so much what you are buried by, but who are you buried with? The things that might bury you in life are far less important to the one that you are buried with. So, let's continue through the verse. So we've got, we were therefore buried with him. Say it with me. We were therefore buried with him through baptism. Buried with Jesus. Who are you buried with? It's Jesus. Who are you buried with? Wow, yeah. But buried with him through baptism. That's, it'd kind of be a strange thing to, for some of you to think about, or because so much of this book says by faith, by faith, by faith this happened. And so you might expect Paul to say you were buried with Jesus by faith, or when you first believed, or whenever you got saved, or whatever the language you use for that is. But he doesn't say that. He says you were buried with him through baptism. And he doesn't even talk in a symbolic way, like it is as if you were buried, like you were buried when you were. No, he just says you were buried. When you got baptized, you were buried with Jesus. And if you think about it, if you, that's the beautiful metaphor of immersion. When somebody's immersed in the water, you are buried and you are raised. Now, we don't do that with infants. That's kind of, I think the Orthodox Church tries sometimes, or they do. It can be much difficult. But that image of you are buried in the water with Jesus and you rise with Jesus, a new person. This is a big deal. Sometimes we use language, we say, remember your baptism. Now, for a while, I thought that was kind of funny because, you know, I was baptized when I was 10 days old. So do I remember it? No. Now, I've seen, you know, pictures, you know, there's my godfather, my uncle holding me, and I look like every other baby I've seen a picture of, you know, just not terribly interesting, and I don't remember it at all, and yet I've been told in many places people say in a faith way, they say, remember your baptism. What does that mean? It means it's not the fact that I was baptized, but I am baptized. What Jesus did to me at 10 days old becomes an eternal, ongoing identity marker for who I am. You see, God transfers your kingdom membership. God transfers your kingdom membership from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. As Paul says here in chapter 6, you were slaves to sin, now you are slaves or servants to righteousness. God does this to you through baptism. He clothes you with Jesus, with his forgiveness, his righteousness. Everything is that Jesus has earned by his perfect life, his death, his resurrection, he gives to you when you are buried with Jesus. Martin Luther, who loved to give very practical advice about how to live the faith, that's what his catechism and teaching tools are, would always say things like, remember your baptism. And what he meant by that is, it is something that matters today. This is who you are right now. And he would say, when you wake up every day, he would even say, make the sign of the cross to remind you of that. Now, I know some of you do that in worship, some of you don't. It's fine if you do, it's fine if you don't. But that's one of the things he said. If you do that, remind yourself that you are baptized. You wake up every day and say that I have died with Christ, I rise with Christ. I am forgiven, I am new each and every day. And now, as we're finding out in Romans now, you get to live that out. When you wake up and remember that you are baptized, you remember that you are buried and now you are alive, and your relationship to God and to others is changed. It's new. You get to live that out. But first, we have to, before we live, we have to die. So here we are. Say it with me. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into, yeah, that's not really the first thing we want to think about, right? Jesus calls us to live with him, but before we live with him, we actually need to die with him. Death, we are buried into his death. Now, death is something in so many ways we fight against. It's a terrible thing to experience for a death of a loved one. We fight against it in big ways and small ways. You know, we want to see ourselves improve in life and health and in business and work. We want to improve. We want to get better. We want to have success. We want to always be on the up. We want our personal lives to much mimic the stock market, right? Or we want our personal lives to mimic the way we want the stock market to look, which is basically always going up with, you know, maybe a 5-minute hiccup, but that's about it. We want to physically improve and get well. However, here in God's word, it says in our faith life, the first thing we are called to do is die. Or to say it another way, the best thing spiritually that can happen to you first is that you die. Why? Because you get buried with Jesus. And when you die with Jesus, you rise with Jesus. I think we're so often wanting to rehabilitate ourselves, which involves telling us that we're not that bad, when Jesus wants to resurrect us, which means first being buried with him. So verse 23, the wages of sin is death every time, but the gift of God is eternal life. But we forget that the wages of sin, it is death. Every sin, big and small, brings a little bit of death, big and small. Every little white lie, every greed, every lust, every pride, they all bring death in some way. And those things need to and do die as they are buried with Jesus. And so it's not so much important as what are you buried by, but who are you buried with? Who are you buried with? Because if you're buried with Jesus, here's what happens. Read it with me. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Life. Jesus invites you into his life. It's not that you stay in the grave with, no. You rise with him. By faith, through baptism, through the Spirit, you are connected to Jesus, and yes, you die so that you might truly live. And isn't it sometimes true that in order for you to be more alive, sometimes things need to die? So my parents and some other people in their generation have described something this way. I've heard my parents and other people their age say, you know, there was a point in my life when I was much younger when I smoked quite a bit, because everybody did, and now how many years later I don't, and I'm glad I don't, for not just my wallet's sake, but my health's sake, but there was a really difficult period from going to smoking regularly to not at all, right? Some of you are saying, maybe some of you have been through that too. But on some level, that's saying something in me actually needs to die in order that I might be more fully alive. Take that with pride, with selfishness, with anger, or lust, or greed, or envy, or anything. The more those things die, the more you're actually alive. When you are baptized, all of those things get buried with Jesus, and you rise with him, pure and holy and forgiven. Your sinful self is buried and drowned, and you are raised to new life, which is exactly why Martin Luther says, remind yourself of that every single day, because it's going to be an ongoing struggle. So you wake up and say, I've been buried, that's all been buried, and now I'm alive. And the new life Jesus lives in you is a life of joy, of generosity, of caring for the poor, of caring for God's world, caring for your neighbors, learning how to love other people. I forget who said this, but I laughed when I read it, so I'll share it with you. A writer said, kind of sarcastically, he said, for far too long, we're telling people to invite Jesus into their lives. Well, guess what? Your life's a mess, and Jesus doesn't want into your life. What he meant, and he goes on to say, you know, Jesus wants to invite you into his life, which is what you mean by inviting Jesus in your heart. But he wants to invite you into it. It's Jesus' life that you get invited into. And through baptism, you are connected to, and by faith you live into, that you are buried with Jesus, and so that you truly live his life. When you are buried with Jesus, you rise with Jesus, and you walk out of that tomb with Jesus. And if you are buried with Jesus, you will come back to life. So whatever has buried you in the past, or whatever feels like might be burying you now, it doesn't hold a candle to the one who was raised for you, but the one you have been raised with. Your sin, buried. You rise, baptized, forgiven with Jesus to new life. And so may the peace that passes our understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.